Letters from Home, a podcast from the St. Paul Center.
Hi there, this is Dr. John Bergsma from the St. Paul Center, and if you are looking to better understand the readings that you hear at Mass, my newest book called The Word of the Lord, Reflections on the Sunday Mass Readings for Year A, is out now. To learn more, go to stpaulcenter.com. Hi there, this is Dr. John Bergsma from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and the Franciscan University of Steubenville, coming to you on this Friday, which is January 6th, would normally be the Feast of Epiphany, although in the U.S., as well as many other places, we punt that feast to Sunday, also the optional memorial for St. Andre Besset of Quebec, so great figure in North American Catholic life. We want to ask for his prayers today. And in this Christmas weekday, which is formally what this day is for most of us, we're reading, as I've mentioned before, through the first epistle of John, this beautiful, deceptively simple presentation of the gospel. And this passage in particular has such glorious things to say today. 1 John 5, verses 5 through 13. It begins, "Who indeed is the victor over the world, but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Boy, we could just camp out on that statement for a while. You look around yourself, you see so many reasons for discouragement in the news, both in the church and in the world, and things can seem pretty dark, but John gives us the good news today. Who is the victor over the world? The one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We are the victors. Remember that old song, I think it was from the 70s. We are the champions of the world, right? Well, we could sing that in a very true sense. I'm not saying that your music director should schedule that for Mass, There's a truth there. We are the champions when we believe in Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the worst thing that can happen to us is that they kill our bodies, and then we walk into heaven into the loving embrace of our Father. That's the worst that can happen. That's not too bad. I like those odds. Things have always been dark all through 2,000 years of church history. There's never been an age that did not have its challenges, its threats, its scandals, and its abuses, etc. But through all that time, this is the truth that the saints discover, that if we place our faith in Christ, he turns all things to our good. He uses all things for our ultimate salvation. And we are going to overcome the temptations to sin and of death and the devil, and we're going to defeat those foes, and we are going to live forever with God in heaven, God the loving Father. Our reading goes on. "This is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water alone, but by water and blood." Very interesting and somewhat cryptic statement, but we see here how the first epistle of John is so closely integrated with the gospel of John. Some argue that the first epistle is a kind of commentary on the gospel. There may be some truth to that. But of course, this is referring to the dramatic event in John 19:34, where our Lord's side is opened up with a lance and out comes water and blood. And that is actually one of the densest symbols in all of Scripture, that water and blood coming forth from the side of Christ is ultimately a sign of the Holy Spirit pouring forth from Christ, but in two forms, water and blood, which in the context of the Gospel of John are sacramental signs. Water in John is always tied to baptism, and blood is tied to Eucharist. And so what that image is telling us at the cross is that from Christ's body flows forth the river of the sacraments, and the sacraments are a river through time and space that carry to us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is born to us, as it were, on the river of the sacraments. And so that's what's going on. This is what John is cryptically describing here. The one who came through water and blood is Jesus Christ. Not by water alone, but by water and blood. It's not totally clear what John means there. Some think that water alone refers to his birth at Christmas, but water and blood refers to his birth at Easter, where he was placed back in the womb of Mother Earth and then reborn from the Holy Sepulchre by his own water and blood. Well, be that as it may, we go on and read, "The Spirit is the one who testifies, and the Spirit is truth. There are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in one accord." We could say that this is basically talking about the sacramental economy. The water and the blood, that's baptism and Eucharist, that carry to us the Spirit and the Holy Spirit, and the sacraments are all in, obviously, harmony with one another, and they are all forms of testimony to the truth of the gospel, to the truth of Christ's divine sonship, and the other saving facts of our Lord's ministry that the gospel author John communicates to us. So the Spirit and the sacraments testify that we are children of God, reborn through the power of God. Boy, there's so much more in our first reading that we could talk about. At the end, John says, "I write these things to you so that you may know that you have eternal life, you who believe in the name of the Son of God." What comforting words. The Holy Spirit and the sacraments are testimonies sent by God to us to assure us of our divine filiation, that we are children of God as we await the redemption of our bodies and going home to heaven to be embraced by our Father. Wow, so much goodness going on there in the first reading, but we got to move to our gospel. We have different options for the gospel today. We could have the account of the baptism from Matthew, or the genealogy of our Lord from Luke. I'm going to go with the genealogy just because it's probably less covered and talked about. And I want to address some issues here. This is Luke's genealogy of our Lord, which is different from the genealogy of our Lord in Matthew 1. There's several differences. First of all, Matthew's genealogy is set up in three sets of 14, 14 being the number of David's name. And Matthew's genealogy is the royal line of father to son of the line of David, of those who were in line to inherit the throne. And it, as I said, goes from father to son top down. Luke's genealogy is very different. It goes bottom up from son to father, and it backs its way up from Jesus all the way to Adam, the father of the whole human race, whereas Matthew's genealogy only goes back to Abraham. So Matthew's genealogy is presenting Jesus as the Savior of the Jews, primarily, since Abraham was the father of the Jews. But Luke is emphasizing Jesus as Savior of the whole world, including the Gentiles, because he backs up all the way to Adam, the father of the Gentiles as well, the father of the whole human race, and also suggesting that Jesus is a kind of second Adam, because when we get to the head of this genealogy, the last words are son of Adam, the son of God. So Jesus, again, is a second Adam who renews the human race by being son of God once more. There's other differences as well. The genealogy in Matthew and Luke diverge from David down to Shealtiel and Zerubbabel, and then they come back together for a couple generations and then diverge again. Luke's genealogy has 70 generations, and 70 is the traditional number of nations of the earth, or the number of Gentiles in Judaism. So the arrangement in 70 generations really bespeaks the universality of Jesus' mission to come and save all people. Luke's genealogy also is not the royal line of descent. It's through what we call a cadet line, through a non-inheriting line, that is to say, descendants of the royal house who weren't in direct line of the throne. Now, what's the difference? Why two genealogies? And why is St. Joseph given the father by the name of Heli in this genealogy, and in Matthew's genealogy, his father is listed as Jacob? Well, I'll be super brief about this, but my solution to this is that Matthew's genealogy is the actual genealogy of Saint Joseph, through whom Jesus inherits the throne of Israel. But this genealogy appears to me to be the genealogy of the Blessed Mother through her father, who's called Heli here. I can't go through all the background of this, but Heli is actually a nickname for Jehoiakim, or the saint that we know as Saint Joachim, and his wife Anne, the parents of the Blessed Mother. This explains why Saint Joseph is given two different fathers. One is his father, his biological father, that would be in Saint Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 1. Here, this is his father-in-law, Heli, or Joachim. How can that be? Well, in Jewish law, if you married an only daughter, you became the full son of her father. And so Saint Joseph marries an only daughter, the Blessed Mother, and he becomes the full legal heir of Saint Joachim. And so this is the biological genealogy, I believe, of our Lord through the Blessed Mother. It also comes through David, as the other one did, but not through the direct line. And so what lessons can we draw for this today? Well, let's remember that our Lord came to save every ethnic group on the planet. No one is excluded. All Africans, all Chinese, all Southeast Asians, all East Indians, Europeans, all the indigenous and immigrant inhabitants of the Americas, every single one of us, Jesus came for us. And he took flesh from the Blessed Mother, who was herself a descendant of Adam and a descendant of David. And he shares in us, in our flesh, and he knows the sufferings that we undergo, and he's sympathetic to all of them. And so let's go to Jesus today, who we know can sympathize with our human nature and who has called us to salvation. And let's place all our faith in him, because he is the one who comes with the water and the blood, with the sacraments and with the Holy Spirit to save us. So let's embrace the sacraments today. Let's get to Mass today, receive Jesus in his body and blood, and have his body and blood united to ours, knowing that that is our path of salvation. Well, this has been Dr. John Bergsma from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and the Franciscan University of Steubenville, coming to you on this Christmas weekday, Friday, January 6th.
Thank you for listening to Letters from Home, the Scripture Reflections podcast from the St. Paul Center. Listen daily with reflections from Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. John Bergsma, Dr. Shane Owens, Ms. Joan Watson, and Mr. Clement Harold. Our production team includes technical director Rory Mitrick and producers Olivia Mosier and Joseph Palmer. Our mission at the St. Paul Center is to help you read Scripture from the heart of the Church. Subscribe and share Letters from Home, as well as Dr. Scott Hahn's podcast, The Road to Emmaus, and Mrs. Kimberly Hahn's podcast, Beloved and Blessed. For more faith-based resources, books, and Bible studies, visit stpaulcenter.com.